Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Finally, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. How many of you think that sounds like a pretty good idea? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Anybody have a difficult time getting here today? Anybody have a difficult week? Oh, yeah. Guess what? You're just not rolling on automatic. You have got opposition standing against you. Paul tells us as we continue on, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Because of this, Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Balthazar knows sometimes it's good just to be able to stand. Amen? Amen. He says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. Read that last one again. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and with this in mind, be always alert, always keep on praying for all the saints. Lord Jesus, it is a challenging place where we live. We need some help, Lord. Lord, we need to come to your throne this morning. We seek assistance, Lord, supernatural aid to help us in this battle that we fight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would bring understanding this morning, that you would meet us in this place, that you would anoint us to understand your word, Lord, that you would bind every distraction, Lord. We know the enemy is at work around us, Lord. You would bind every distraction and help us to hear from you. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Title of today's message is about receiving power. Receiving power. Mike, where are you at? You can turn that fan off for me, sir. Thank you. And Keith, you can take that master slide far right, slide it down just a couple of notches for me. Thank you. Joe went to a new school this year. And he's been going to Christian school or being homeschooled. And so he went to a charter school over in Santee. And the environment was entirely different to the environment that he was used to. And it was a little uncomfortable that he was less than familiar with the surroundings, the way that the boys act. It was a whole different environment, and it can be a little bit intimidating. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And so I became aware of this. His mom became aware of it, because she's his mom, before I became aware of it. And I became aware of this situation. I said, well, we need to make some changes around here. We need to get you some tools. We need to equip you so that you will no longer be intimidated by your environment. I talked about this before, but one of the things I got him was a punching bag. You might be laughing, but how many of you know that when you go into an intimidating environment, it is nice to know that you can handle yourself? Can I get a witness on that? So now, one thing about a punching bag, you got to learn how to use it, and if you start just punching on it, you'll mess up your hands. So got him some gloves. And it's nice to be able to punch with authority, so we got some weightlifting equipment. And I'll tell you what, going through all this stuff, he acts entirely different in that environment now. He is no longer intimidated. Now, he's not a punk. He's not going out there and attacking people or anything like that. But he moves through that environment and he's no longer intimidated. We talk about receiving power from heaven. We talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about there are forces that are arrayed against us that can intimidate us. And as we talk about Pentecost, we talk about spiritual power. Power that is available to you and to me that we might not be attacked and thwarted by the enemy as he comes against us. And now, there are many of us that go through some pretty extreme stuff during the week, and we think that it's just, hey, this is what you see is what you get. And Paul says, no, that there is stuff that is pointed at you that is solely interested in your destruction. Today we're going to take a look at living in the Spirit. We're going to talk about the things of the Spirit, living in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and working in the Spirit. Okay? Talking about tying into more than you are familiar with. If this is your first time with us today, we've been studying about this Pentecostal power for several weeks now. I want to review that with you. On the day of Pentecost, the church was born. Acts chapter 2 talks about that. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they, the disciples, 120 of them, were in the upper room. All together they were praying in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. Now, a violent wind filled this place, you would notice. Amen? I mean, it would be loud. And then it says, the whole place where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that were on the ceiling, separated and came to rest on each of them. Would you be tripping out if that happened right now? Flame moving through this whole place, shaking and moving and noise. What happened? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked last week about the promise of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, one is coming after. I baptize you with water, but one coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. This is what occurred on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, and they were equipped with supernatural power from on high. Why were they in the room? Well, they were waiting for this, but they were also hiding from all the Jews. The Jews had just crucified Jesus not 50 days before. And they were a little intimidated. And last week we took a look at the response of the disciples, and they were done hiding out in that room, and they went out into a Jerusalem that was overflowed with people that were visiting because of this great feast called Pentecost, and they began to preach the word, and 3,000 people accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior that day. They weren't afraid anymore. They weren't intimidated anymore. They weren't getting whooped on anymore. And we studied last week and we saw the spread of this baptism of the Holy Spirit, that as the message of Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross for your sins. Is that volume back there okay for you guys? Yeah, good. As the message of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins and your opportunity to have new life in Him, that the power of the Spirit accompanied the spread of that gospel. We saw in Acts chapter 8 in Samaria where the message of the gospel spread, so also did the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That in Cornelius' house, a Gentile living in Caesarea Philippi, that as the message went forth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit went forth as well. Power. Paul went to Ephesus, and he found some disciples there. Acts chapter 19. We talked about this last week. First thing he says is, how you doing? Don't you love the Lord? He says, no. Have you received the Holy Spirit? He said, we didn't even know about it. He prayed for them and they received the Holy Spirit. Why is this important? Well, it's important now because it was important back then. It's important now because we are getting whooped on by the attack of the enemy. Paul says that we are under attack by things that we can't see. We have opposition that we cannot just combat with our regular stuff. And the Lord says that you have power that you can utilize to find victory in your life during the week. You know, we got all kinds of stuff going on around us. In our country, in our culture, I'll tell you what, I look at the TV and I see all kinds of division, racial division over this new immigration law that has been passed in Arizona. And you know what I see? I see Hispanics and Anglos at each other's throats. But you know what I saw today here? By the power of the Holy Spirit? We took that offering. We got $650 for that funeral today. Amen? And so get the mortuary costs out of that. We got some money coming your way for that. Amen. And you know what? And the power of the Holy Spirit. See, what the enemy would seek to bring. And the enemy would say, oh, let's see what they're doing. Let's see if we can just kind of tweak this and mess them up. You know, we got no money in this city. We got no money in this state. We got no money in this country. We got countries running out of money. I see people in Greece are rampaging in the streets because they're cutting off their funds. And the enemy's out there saying, nah, let's get them. Let's take the situations in their lives and let's totally mess with them. Lord says, don't go out there unarmed. Don't go out there under your own power. There is extra stuff that is available. How about that car bomb in New York? I mean, you got some people out there, you know, saying how we didn't treat the guy who was going to blow us up good enough. Sorry, I don't want to get wound up. Devil's probably trying to mess me up too. We're talking today about receiving power from God that you might have impact in the spiritual realm around you today, next week, next month, and next year. Does that interest you today?
Yeah.
Does that interest you today?
Yeah.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, good. I thought I was going to have to let you go and we wouldn't have food ready yet. But, okay, good. All right, all you guys got to stick around later. All right, living in the Spirit. Point number one. I talked about living in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, working in the Spirit, okay? Number one, living in the Spirit. There are some who are used to it. There are some who are used to it. I'm going to read you about two guys in the Old Testament, okay? Prophet Elijah, Prophet Elisha. Elijah answered the captain. Now, Elisha did battle with or stood against or prophesied against. He was the oracle of God, spoke the words of God, had the power of God, and he was fighting against or standing in opposition to King Ahab. How many of you heard of King Ahab? How many of you heard of Queen Jezebel? Oh, yeah, she's a little bit more famous. Don't have any friends named Jezebel, do you? No, not a real popular name these days, yeah. Anyway, and their son, let me get his name because it's a little bit different, Ahaziah. They would stand against them, and they would send their armies, their soldiers, and all that kind of stuff. And so it says, this captain comes with 50 guys and says, are you Elijah? And he says, Elijah answered the captain, if I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. Now, is that pretty bold? I mean, even talking to people, say, whoa, lightning can strike you from heaven. That's where this comes from. Okay? Bible says, fire fell from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. There are some people back in the day and today that are used, that are accustomed to functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the king sent, you know what the king's response was? He sent out another captain, another 50 guys. This is 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Kings chapter 12 reads exactly the same way. He said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. And a second group of 50 were consumed by fire from heaven. And they think, wow, man, this is amazing. And I got to think it was pretty amazing to Elijah. But he was familiar with the power of God. He prayed on Mount Carmel and prayed, and he was standing in opposition to 450 prophets of Baal. And they called to Baal, oh, Baal, take this. They had a little contest going on, and he's just kind of going, hey, maybe Baal's busy. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he can't hear you. And they're like screaming and tearing their clothes and doing all this funky stuff. And he takes all their stuff and just kind of, you can read about the incredible stuff that Elisha did in 1 Kings and 2 Kings. Old Testament books. And he says, take all your altar away to Baal, all this kind of stuff. I don't need all that stuff. And he erected an altar to God. And he took a sacrifice and he put it on there. And then he took like three big, like 50-gallon drums and poured them over this. It was a stone altar, too. And he poured it over the altar and he put a little ditch around it so that the water was just standing in the ditch and all over the offering. And he said, Lord, didn't jump up and down and scream and shout. Lord, so these people can know that you are God in heaven. Receive the sacrifice and fire from heaven. Bam! Comes down, evaporates all the water, burns up the offering, burns up the altar. And the 450 prophets of Baal were taken and killed. These guys, Elisha and his assistant Elisha, they knew how to function in the power of the Spirit of God. Now, Elisha came along, it's E-L-I-S-H-A. Elisha came along and was serving Elijah, and the time came for Elijah to be taken to heaven. And it was like, you know, the chariot from heaven comes, man, it's going to take him right on up. And as the time came, Elijah says to Elisha, what do you want me to do for you? And Elisha's response, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha says. One thing that Elisha realized, that there was spiritual power that was available if you asked for it. If you desire it, if you want to move into this realm of which you are being whooped by, spiritual power is available to you. My question for you today is, if this spiritual power is still available, and the Lord Jesus Christ sent His Spirit that you might have that power, are you interested? Do you want that power? Do you want to become accustomed to the power of God working in your life so that you will no longer be intimidated by what is going on around you, oftentimes just not even aware of? Well, we're going to talk about that today. The spiritual realm is all around us, folks. Spiritual realm is all around us. 2 Kings. We were just reading about 2 Kings chapter 1, 2 Kings chapter 6, 15 and 17. It says, when the servant of the man of God, who was Elisha, right? And they're doing battle and they're getting ready to go against this whole army, right? And the servant is freaking out and Elisha is not freaking out. Let me tell you why Elisha is not freaking out. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out the early next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? He says to Elisha. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. He said, man, we are surrounded. The bad guys are all around. And Elisha says, don't be afraid. I'm not even worried. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And Elisha prayed, oh, Lord. See those caps there? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Those of you who habla, that's Jehovah. That's Jehovah God. That is Yahweh, however you want to say it. All-powerful God. He says, oh, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills. I mean, I get chills just thinking about this. I mean, you got a city surrounded by an army, and the guy is freaking out. He says, open his eyes, and he looks up, and he sees the hills all around that army surrounded by horses and chariots of fire. I got to think that that servant was a little bit more calm. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, see, Paul says, you know, we are fighting in the spiritual realm that surrounds us, and the spiritual realm is just close, folks. If we would just open our eyes, we could see the enemies that are all around us, and they're just trying to attack us day in and day out. But we would also become aware of those that are for us, because we've got some help. Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Bible says that if we resist the devil, submit to God, that he must flee from us. Amen? And I'm telling you, man, we are getting whooped on day in, day out because we're not aware of what is going on around us. And Paul says you need to be aware. And as we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, talk about spiritual power, we talk about the ability to stand in the midst of that challenge. Is this okay? We doing okay? All right. I'm bringing it now. We went, Lisa and I, one of the first things I did for the Lord, we went on these missions trips, the church where we were at, up in Sacramento. We went, I went the first year, Lisa didn't go. It was a radical time. We weren't married yet, though, but you didn't even go, so it didn't even matter. The second year. Anyway. I've only been a Christian a little while, and I'm down there, man. I mean, it was just radical to see the orphanage in between Tecate and Tijuana. They had built churches and all this kind of stuff. So we went down there, and then I got called to go to Bible college. And I came back that next summer, met my wife-to-be, or started courting my wife-to-be. And yes, the mother of my children. I'd done 1 year of Bible college, and so we're going down there, and I'm prepping, you know, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm prepping the sermon out, and he goes, oh, Pastor Tim, that's if you're going to preach, and I said, no, but just in case, man, I'll be ready. Bible says, be ready in season and out. Amen. Can I get a witness on that? And so we're down there, and we are we're pouring a concrete slab for dormitories for 50, 60, 70. It was like a 125 foot slab by 70, something like that. It was a big slab, 5 or 6 dump trucks, cement trucks. And so we're doing that, and we had to do some extra finishing, and everybody else, we're going over to do the service in the Tijuana dump. How many of you guys know Tijuana, know where the dump is? Is there more than one dump? I got to think there's more than one dump. This is the one that's down there by the below the south of the 5 and 10, and been there for a long time, and there's a graveyard that's out there and all that kind of stuff. And they all went over there, and they're passing out flyers, and we're heading over there. And this church, it's actually right next to the dump. It's like right in the dump area. It's pretty savage. And, I'm kind of going a little bit long. But are we okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And so we finish up the concrete over at the orphanage. We're driving from Tecate over there, and I got the guys. I'm driving the van. I'm one of the interns, and so I'm driving the van, and I'm going to go preach. And I got 8 guys in the truck, in the van. They're all cutting up, you know, just finish the concrete. And I'm driving to go preach in the dump, and this voice speaks to my head. It says, whatever you do today, you're going to be gone next week, and I will take it back. What is this? And I begin to pray. And it says, it doesn't matter what you do today, because you're leaving. And it'll just be me. I don't care what you preach. I don't care what happens today. Next week you'll be gone, and I'm going to take it all back. And I'm telling you, I am driving that van, and I am praying. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray in tongues. And I am praying. The guys have no clue what is going on. They are just cutting up, and they're, you know, they're having a good old time. And I tell you, I am doing heavy duty spiritual warfare, heading to go preach in this place. It was one of the most incredible, memorable oppositions I've ever run into. Now, spiritually empowered, preach the message with power, and the Lord spoke to my heart that following summer after I finished Bible college. I married my wonderful wife on May 5th. And I graduated on May 5th, got married on May 15th, and on May 25th, we were back down at that orphanage. And my job was to line up teams. And in my heart, what I wanted to make sure was there was never a week without a team. that there would always be follow-up and that the teams were integrated. We began to build a series of churches that would support one another and that those people that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ would never be left alone. Isn't that cool? That's cool. We were there for 3 years. God is just good. That power to be able to in the midst, go into dark places is available to everyone in this room. And sometimes you'll feel it. You'll go into your home. Sometimes you go into somebody else's home and go, whoa, this is creepy. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can stand in the gap and you can have impact on those situations. Amen?
Amen.
We still okay?
Yes.
All right. I don't want to get spiritual on you or freak you out or anything, but you know what? You're walking around unarmed. And the devil just whoop on you. And I don't want that to happen. So the Lord doesn't want that to happen either. And he says, praying in the Spirit will make you stronger. Praying in the Spirit will build you up. This is Jude, right? One chapter right before Revelation. But you, dear friends, it's not you, buddy. You know, it's people that are dear to this guy. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. God wants you to be stronger than what you are. God wants you to have a spiritual strength. Praying in the Spirit, we're going to talk about what that is. Praying in the Spirit is like taking spiritual vitamins. It makes you stronger. Paul says to the church in Corinth, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now that word edify comes from the Greek word that comes from the root of making a house. So as you pray in the Spirit, you are building your house, your spiritual house. And some of our houses are not in the greatest situations. Some of us are living in spiritual shacks. And I'm telling you what, you can make it to heaven in a spiritual shack, but the ride is not going to be as comfortable as the Lord would have you ride. He says, he who prays in the Spirit edifies himself, builds up his house. Now, some of us has got some weird house. Well, actually, not some of us got some weird houses. Some of us got some nice little tidy houses. Yeah. Clean it all up, your spirit moves in, and it looks good. Don't have that weird house. Don't have that solo house, you know, kind of isolating house. Get all alone. You see, hermit Christians, man, it's not good. But the Lord says, I want you fortified. I want you strengthened. You can build up your house, and you don't have to live alone. You have to live in some shack. You can have strength. You can have protection. Now check these houses out. You got the shack, and you got the tidy little house, and you got the castle. You're living in that shack. You walk in your shack, man, it falls down on you. You got to just continually work with baling wire and whatever else you got. You're calling up Mike, come and fix my shack. Because you walk in and you spend all your time just maintaining your shack. And when the attack comes, you are not prepared. Why? Because you're distracted with your shack. The Lord says, Paul says, you pray in the Spirit and you will edify yourself. You will build yourself up. You will strengthen yourself. You'll be like spiritual vitamins. And you will end up living in castle. The cool thing about the castle is that you are secure in it, and when the attack comes, it provides protection from the attack. Not only does it not take your attention, but it protects you. Why do I got that other picture up there? Because many of us want that life. We just want the pretty little house. The pretty little existence. We don't want to have any mess. We don't want to have any muss. We don't want to have any challenges. And whenever anything comes our way, the first thing we got to do is clean it up. And the Lord is not so worried about you being clean in your existence, but having victory in your existence. So he says, hey, you can start off with a little shack and you can have this. And this is going to look good. It's a little attractive thing. But this is what you're shooting for, folks. Because our existence is this fortified castle. That is what the Lord would have for you. And he says, I want you to have power. When those disciples got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they were no longer hiding in that little room. They went out into the temple and they started preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? They had protection. They had power. This makes sense? Yeah. Does it sound okay? Prepared for attack, protected from attack. Okay. Praying in the Spirit. A definition. Second point, I'll try not to keep you too long. Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many of you suffered bouts of weakness this week? Come on now. You had some challenge coming your way. Whoa, bam! Right? The Spirit helps you in your weakness. How? We did not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit, residing in you. Why? Because you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Bible says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23 or 13, one of them, says that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit as you believe the gospel is preached to you. It says the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes, prays for the saints in accordance with God's will. Now, does that sound pretty radical? Like, wow, I didn't even know that was in there. We are talking about praying in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and working in the Spirit. We're talking about tying into something that is beyond us, something that is bigger than us, something that is different from us. We are talking about tying into the supernatural power of God. And I said earlier, there are those that are used to it. There are those that are accustomed to it, and they will go places that you are afraid to go. What kind of power are we trying to tie into? Bible says, Isaiah 600 BC, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the Lord would say, I will baptize you in my Spirit to kind of close that gap. I will empower you. I will pray for you. The Spirit will intercede for us. The Lord gives us the ability to tie into this supernatural power and build ourselves up. The Bible describes this as praying in the Spirit. Describes it as praying in a tongue. We saw it happen in Samaria. We saw it happen on the day of Pentecost. We saw it happen in Philippi. Cornelius' house. Saw that happen in Ephesus. We saw that happen in Corinth. Happened a lot in Corinth. Happened so much in Corinth. Paul is bringing direction there. Praying in the Spirit. Paul talks about the proper use of praying in the Spirit. The ability to move in the Spirit. And he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, why would Paul want to speak in tongues? Because Paul was out there on the cutting edge, possibly the greatest evangelist the world has ever known. I mean, he took his life in his hands. He'd talk about being shipwrecked, being stoned, being arrested, being all these things. He needed supernatural power to assist him in what the Lord had for him. We're talking about praying in tongues, and it freaks people out. It freaked me out. How many of you have never heard about praying in tongues before? Don't even know what I'm talking about. Well, good. Hallelujah. How many are totally freaked out about praying in tongues? Come on, you put your hand up. That's okay. Three. All right. The rest of you are just afraid. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you'd be bold enough to put your hand up. Okay. All right. Now, all right. Notice I'm using a bunch of scriptures up here today, okay? Where'd Mike go? Let's see. Keith, turn that fan back on, would you, for him? Do you know how to do that? No? Find Mike. He'll show you how. All right. Bible says, or actually, hey, Keith, don't worry about it. When Mike comes back, we'll have him do it because I don't want you to miss the scripture. It says, anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. He goes on to say, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. It talks about other places, about praying in the language of angels. And he talks about praying in a language that you don't understand, a language that God gives you. I'm going to talk to you about, explain to you how it works, okay? I'm not going to explain so much what it is, but how it works. When I was a young Christian, about a year old in the Lord, I was leading a small group at our church, about 12 people of really, really hurting people. And I would pray for them, like I pray for you guys. And I would pray for them, and I would become so overwhelmed with the needs in their lives that it would be kind of a bummer to pray for them. And I just get, oh, I'm dying here. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I began to pray in tongues for them. Yeah, and sometimes I pray in tongues, and I don't make any noise. It's just kind of like a mental thing. And what happened was, is I'm praying, just lifting this person up in prayer, and I'm just, oh, Lord, I'm overwhelmed. And I began to pray in the Spirit, and what happened was, is these images of these people began to flash from my mind. And then the needs associated with these people began to flash my mind. And it began to just go faster and faster and faster. So I could not keep up with what was going on in my mind. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit would pray for me when I don't know how to pray. And that was happening that day. And what happened was, is after my time of prayer, which is about the regular time of prayer, instead of feeling loaded down, I felt released. That I had prayed for these people led by the Spirit of God. Does that at all make sense to you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? I was talking to Lisa earlier this week. She was talking about, because we pray for you guys, about being overloaded with needs. A lot of stuff going on around here, folks. And she started talking, and I showed her my list. And this is not the list, but it looks something like this. It'll look like this. When I pray every Monday morning. Tomorrow morning I'll be praying, and I pray about every morning. This is my daily schedule, and I'll put names all over this stuff. And I'll put your name on this, sometimes. And I'll pray, and it's like, I'll pray this, and I get this thing going on with the Lord, and I get images of you guys, and I'll just start writing down Keith. I'll start writing down names I can't think of right now, and I was gonna say Emma, but that's my niece. I don't even know. Maybe Emma needs prayer today. I start writing down all these things and the situation, and I'll know when I write down the name what the situation is because the Lord's imprinted that on me, and then I'll have 30 names. Lisa, and I said, look, here's my list, Lisa. And she's like, man, hi. And I said, you know what, hon? There is no way. I have 30 names. It's Saturday. I can't deal with all 30 of these people today. I won't have time. And I say, Lord, here's the list you gave me. Now I'm going to trust you. And you bring me the people I'm supposed to talk to today. Bam. Now, sometimes I'll talk with 3 people out of those 30. And I'll feel just fine when I go to bed at night because I'll know those are the 3 that I was supposed to hook up with. Now, some of you guys, I'll see the following day or the following day or the following day, and I'll still have you on my list. But that is how praying in the Spirit helps me because I got to hook up with God. And you know what? The Lord does not expect me to fix all you guys. Guess what? The Lord does not expect me to fix one of you guys. The Lord expects me to be available to Him to use for Him to help you guys. Does that make sense? And now, if I'm just one of the guys on the team, All the pressure's on him. Guess what? He can handle it a whole lot better than me. And I'm not trying to outpace myself, do any of that other kind of stuff. I'm just like, Lord, you show me what to do, and I will do it. Make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. I'll tell you what, folks. We are way long. All right, so I'm going to try and go quick. We are equipped for impact. We are equipped for impact. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And I talked about living in the Lord, living in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, working in the Spirit. We're talking about working in the Spirit now. There are different kinds of gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them and all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You are given gifts for the rest of us. Does that make sense? All right. The common good, the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit. I got two lists for you. 1 Corinthians 12, it goes on to talk about these lists, these gifts. The message of wisdom, the message of knowledge. Two gifts. Faith, gifts of healing. Gifts of healing, like a doctor. I'm like a supernatural spiritual doctor, okay? So you know who's got those gifts? Sharon's got that gift. Johnny's got that gift. You know, people that have struggle in their lives, the Lord uses that struggle to go along with those gifts. You want to get prayed for? I would recommend you get Johnny, you get Sharon to pray for if you need to get healed. They got more of a gift in that area than me. And I don't feel bad about that. Is that okay? All right. Miraculous powers. That's just like supernatural stuff. Maybe like calling down fire from heaven that Elijah had. Prophecy. They hear Larry prophesy sometimes. Sharon prophesy sometimes. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Distinguishing between spirits. And somebody will walk in and say, hey, look at me. And say, whoa. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Some of you young people don't know what that means. Ask somebody old. They'll tell you. Speaking in different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, I just tell you that the public gift where you see an utterance in tongues, you say, what is that guy saying? And somebody else will say, the Lord says, bam! And you put the two together, it sounds just like prophecy, okay? So these are gifts as listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Are we okay?
Yeah.
All right, more gifts listed in Romans chapter 12. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving. We had some giving going on today. Thank you so much for that. I know that your gifts to Suhei and her family bless the Lord today. I'm going slow, bro. I'm sorry, man.
Thank you.
Maybe it's the Lord just getting us to go slow. Okay. Giving, leadership, and mercy. Another one I'm not big on. That's why I married my wonderful, or the Lord brought this lady to me. I'm not big on mercy. You want mercy? Talk to her. She's got the merciful gifts. You know, it's like my kid falls down, starts crying. Get up, kid. Come on. Be tough. That just kind of moves right on over to the church. So you need a soft hand. Talk to my wife. Yes. These gifts are meant to be turned outward. It's hard to do mercy to yourself. I mean, healing. You know, there are selfish people that'll try and turn this stuff inward. You know, I'll heal you, pay me. You know, I mean, how many times can you heal yourself? You know, I mean, hey, once you're healed, you're healed. And so they're really meant to be spread out. They're for the common good. They're for the rest of us. When you're not functioning in your group gift, we suffer. We're tired of suffering. Okay? That is in contrast to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that prayer, praying in the Spirit, which is a personal gift. Okay? He who prays in a tongue, he who prays in the Spirit, does what? Edifies himself. Totally inward focused. It's not supposed to be outward focused. It's inward focused. And guess what? The Lord gives it so that you won't be weak. Now, Paul says, go after the gifts, especially the gifts that build up the church, especially for those ones that are given for the common good. And saying, oh, well, I got to just go ahead and skip over praying in the Spirit. No. For many of you, praying in the Spirit would be an advance in spiritual power, an advance in spiritual maturity with the Lord. Many in this church, over the last year, we have seen many fall along the wayside. Why? Because spiritual attack comes and they are not edified. They're not built up. They're living in a spiritual shack and the attack comes and they are defeated. And what happens to the rest of us? Oh, no, 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 no. And we are diverted from what the Lord has us doing to go try and do damage control on these folks that are getting whooped down by who? The enemy. Now, if you guys were built up in spiritual power, you would be able to stand. We'll still come alongside, but we don't have the collapse that happens. We're not having to build people's houses all over again. Does that make sense? See, you begin to function in those gifts. And you need power. You need a platform to stand on. This is the last point. Lord would have you improve. Eagerly desire the greater gifts, Paul says. Move into, he wants you to mature. He wants you to move into the things of God. Move into the things of the Spirit. He talks about greater gifts. You know, and some people, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I got my gift. I don't want to press on God. You know, I don't want to like seem like I'm not happy enough or, you know. He says, hey, eagerly desire those gifts. Move after the gifts. Don't be just satisfied with what you got. Move more into the things of God. Good? Am I okay here? Don't be satisfied with what you have. Eagerly desire more. Talk about being touched by the Spirit of God, being filled with the Spirit of God. And we take this personal gift, this personal power, and use it as a platform for the display of the gifts of God. What do I mean? Anna was not here last Sunday. Sandra spent all Wednesday night after church, left church, and spent the whole Wednesday night in the hospital. Now, what is in common with these two ladies? Well, they're standing right up here singing, right? Now, think, oh, I'm on the worship team, you know. I'll sign autographs later. No, that's not it. See, what happens is they start singing, and all them demons that are hanging around the church go, oh, check out Sandra. Yeah, check out Anna. Anna wasn't here last Sunday because her back, she got real bad back issues, right? Oh, look at Anna. I think she's so good up there singing. We're going to bring a little extra action her way this week, right? So what happens? You begin to flow in that gift that the Lord has given you, and you stick your head above the crowd, and the enemy starts trying to pick you off. And that private prayer language, that spiritual power that is available, does what? Fortifies your life, edifies your life, builds up your spiritual house so that you're living in that castle. And when he brings the attack, you're strong. That's why Paul says, pray in the Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you might be able to stand. This is good, is it not? So you wonder why all of a sudden you start doing some stuff around here and things get so tough. Hey, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the spiritual powers that are all around us. We're talking about the things of the Spirit of God, the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, having an impact in our lives and having an impact on those lives that are around us. We're talking about the fortified life. We're talking about moving into and embracing the things of God in our lives. And you say, how do you do it? Do you want to know how to do it? Some of you guys are going, get me out of here. Start the lunch, man. What is this guy talking about? Thank you, Charles. We're going to give you a chicken cordon bleu for that, Charles. All right, look at this. This is Luke, Jesus talking. I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Doesn't this already sound good? Yes. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, If your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Power of God. Do you have it? Do you want it? Do you need it? And are you going, whoa, I'm freaking out a little bit. Pastor Dave's been gone. Pastor Dave was walking around. Most of you know who he is. If you don't, he'll be down there serving you. Comes to preach us. He'll be preaching for us in August when we're out of town. He worked for us 3 years here. He's been gone for about three now. And he came up to me one day and he said, well, I guess I can't be a Assemblies of God pastor because I don't speak in tongues. And I said, and I said, well, why not? He says, well, I don't know. I just never have. And I said, well, did you ask God? And he said, well, no. Never really thought about it. And I showed him this scripture. And he said, well, okay. And I was talking to him this morning and last night. We stayed in our house. And I said, so tell me when you got the baptism. And he goes, well, it was on University Avenue. I was going to Walmart. And I said, okay, cool. And so I talked to him more this morning. I said, tell me more about that. I go, you never asked. And he goes, yeah, I figured if I ought to be asking if it's there. And I said, well, when did you ask? And he said, well, I was just thinking about it. I was driving to Walmart. And I said, Lord, if you have this for me, I want it. And he said, less than a block later, I'm driving down University Avenue, and it just started coming out of me. And I'm bummed he's not here right now, because I want him to hear this. Because he said, it's never happened to me again. And I said, Dave, he's got glaucoma. He's got surgery going on in his eyes, and in the same way that Anna's getting an attack on her back and Sandra's getting attacked with ulcers and stomach and all this kind of stuff, and you're getting attacked where you're at, and Lisa's getting overwhelmed, and I'm telling you, man, I can use your prayers. The enemy is using an attack. And I talked to him this morning about that. He goes, well, I don't think the devil's causing my glaucoma. I go, no, but he's the one who's whispering in your ear saying, you're never going to be any good for God now. And he says, oh, yeah, I've heard that. Lord says, I don't care what you got. He says, I'll give you power to overcome the spiritual attack that is coming against you in your life. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because some of you are getting beat down every day, every week, and you, until right now, have not understood it. And my question for you is, if this power is available for you, do you want it? If God, have you ever known God to rip you off or to scam you or to give you something that you don't want? See, and if he's saying, if Jesus is saying, Jesus told the disciples, don't you leave Jerusalem without the power. He says, you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, you're going to receive power from on high. It's important. God's not going to lie to you, folks. Now, we're pretty much done. Lisa's going to come up and sing a song. And if you're tired of getting whooped on by the enemy, and you're saying, you know, Lord, I trust you. But he said, even though you're evil, your Father in heaven's good. He will give you of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to sing a couple of songs. I want you to stand. Men, you don't have to leave yet. But you want to just sing, and you're saying, you know, Lord, I'm tired of getting beaten up. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I can use some more tools. You got tools for me, I want them. I want you to just come on up, and we're just going to sing a couple of songs. And as we're singing up here, I just want you to say, Lord, Just like Pastor Dave. If this is available for me, I want it, Lord. I'm waiting. And one of the lines in this song says, here we are waiting. Abide in me. So we're going to do that. Amen? Stand with me if you would, and let's sing.